Once again, I'd like to welcome you all here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I have a couple of things that I'd like to read this morning before I get into this morning's subject matter. That as I was, as I was talking last week, you know, about the past and in the present, and how things may be in the past and things may be in the present, and how things may be intertwined between the two, and how those things work with, you know, that we need to hold fast that which is good and prove all things, because it is each one of us that need to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for ourselves. And we know that, and we need to realize that. It base our eternal life, you know, upon solid, you know, solid foundation, solid footing. You know, the gold and the silver in the scriptures, not the wood, hay, and the stubble. Depend upon the gold and the silver. Rely upon, check it out for yourselves. We got to watch about even traditions. Traditions, even some of our families. There were traditions we know in many parts of the scriptures that may not built upon good, true things, but things that people maybe drug along. And I think that's some of the reasons that the children of Israel maybe had strayed and went into idol worship and abominations, maybe because of some traditions that they held, you know, that weren't based upon good, solid, scriptural, you know, foundation, so on. And I had a little kind of funny email that I'd seen it before, but I thought it gave it something to think about. And the title is, It's Going to Be Cold. It's late fall, and the Indians on a remote reservation in South Dakota asked their new chief if the coming winter was going to be cold or mild. Since he was a chief in modern-day society, he had never been taught the old secrets. When he looked at the sky, he couldn't tell what the winter was going to be like. Nevertheless, to be on the safe side, he told his tribe that the winter was indeed going to be cold and that the members of the village should collect the firewood to be prepared. But being a practical leader, after several days, he got an idea. He went to the phone booth, called the National Weather Service, and asked, is the coming winter going to be cold? It looks like this winter is going to be quite cold, the meteorologist at the Weather Service responded. So the chief went back to his people and told them to collect even more firewood in order to be prepared. A week later, he called the National Weather Service again. Does it still look like it's going to be a very cold winter? Yes, the man at the National Weather Service again replied, it's going to be a very cold winter. The chief again went back to his people and ordered them to collect every scrap of firewood they could find. 2 weeks later, the chief called the National Weather Service again. Are you absolutely sure that the winter is going to be very cold? Absolutely, the man replied. It's going to be more and more like it is going to be one of the coldest winters we've ever seen. How can you be so sure? The chief asked. The weatherman replied, the Indians are collecting the firewood like crazy. And it also says, always remember that this whenever you get advice from a government official. Now, once again, you know, it's funny. I thought it was pretty good. And we got to be careful today that we do have also news reports, and things are built on circular reasoning and so on and so forth. We even find where to support theories. The theory of evolution is just supported upon circular reasoning. Person that goes into a person that does radiometric dating, goes in with a bone. The bone, he says, I think this to be so many millions of years old. It was found at this certain layer, so I think that it is from this time period, and it should be about this old. And this is truth, and I've seen it written in print. And they will work the dials upon the equipment in order to bring it within that time frame. And so, they would take that piece of data. That data is entered into logbooks. It is entered into material for the future. So then they can go back and they can use that for reference down the road. Okay? And so, once again, you know, and things are built on maybe suppositions. And so we can find also traditions. We've got to be careful they're not based upon something that's not quite true according to the scriptures. And so, we have to be careful of things, because each of us, once again, need to answer for our own sins. And because, I love my mom and dad dearly. They're good examples, but I need to live life. If I trip and fall and I hurt myself, do they feel it? I'm the one that hurts, and I'm the one that has suffered. And I need to, and so people need to decide for themselves and so on about their own eternal life. And we have those that are even raised in the church. Some have not, but some have been raised and brought up in the church. And we cannot go into the kingdom of heaven upon our parents as coattails, and or husbands and wives. We cannot ride in upon their coattails. And the scripture talks about the unbelieving wife or the unbelieving husband for the sanctification of the children. It doesn't talk about their eternal welfare. And those children, when they grow, will have to make a decision for themselves. And so each one of us need to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The things done on this body, according to that he hath done. No one else will be there with us but our Lord and Master. And we were talking this morning in Sunday school about, even things that we may see in society today, even within, I'm sadly to say, Christian denominations and teachings and so on and so forth. And I believe that, like the Book of Mormons talk about, we're in the day of two churches. Say the church of the devil, the church of the lamb. That day is fast approaching. In many ways, if not already here. Because of many qualifications of what's being taught and what's being denied. And there was an article that we had seen yesterday. Not that I didn't realize that this wasn't already true. And this is in a West Michigan Christian. And the title was, "Southern Evangelicals Believe Many Religions Lead to Salvation." And someone made a comment here this morning that made people just think they're just nice people. And I believe the teaching of the Nehors in the Book of Mormon times that said that in the end, all men should be saved. And we got to be careful of these things. Jesus plainly said, "Narrow is the path that leadeth unto eternal salvation. Few there be that find it." As we're reading in the Book of Romans, it wasn't just because you were going to be one of the chosen people of the Israelite nation were you going to be saved. But there was a law of faith. And we find the law of faith in Jesus Christ. Very, very important. Well, we must keep, like Jesus told the woman at the well. And she says, you worship at Jerusalem, but you don't know really what you're worshiping. You think you should go to Jerusalem, go to the temple to worship. The time is coming, and now it is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so truth we find is very important. Or we have the belief that many do, that many religions lead to salvation, or many beliefs. I have a gospel to be preached. It's going to be preached to all the nation. And there is the fullness of the gospel that was restored these latter days. It says here, just quoting out, not the whole article, but just a couple of excerpts from it. Among the general population, 65% of Americans, a drop from 70% in the earlier poll, said there are many paths to salvation. Sad thing, isn't it? And once again, I'm just going to quote here, let's see here now. This report reveals that a good number of those who attend, this is evangelical churches, either misunderstand or repudiate the gospel, or refute it, or don't hold it to be essentially true. Another point says Protestants who attend church weekly 37%, a drop in 10 points from the earlier statistics, said that many religions can lead to eternal life. But among the mainline Protestants who attend church weekly, 75% believe that there are multiple paths to salvation. And it goes on to other different denominations. And that's sad. They would go and they would be sitting in a church and then still do not believe that it is essential for salvation. And we must be careful, you know, that I believe that in the fullness of the gospel, I believe in the authority of the ministry, I believe in the fullness of his teachings, faith, repentance, baptism, resurrection, and eternal judgment, and the position the Church of Christ is in today. We must be careful, even in the Church of Christ. Living by faith unto endurance. That even though we may belong to Christ's church today, we must live by faith unto endurance. Because we have much, we must be able to rely upon much. Rely upon, and it should be that which gives us strength and faith and marrow to the bone. It must be sustenance. It must be that which is strengthening. And so we have a lot. But what too much is given, much to whom much is given, much shall be required. So we all must utilize that too, just like those that have those talents. That we can't just bury it in the earth. He expects us to do something with it and witness of it. And I challenge each of you. The Lord Jesus Christ challenges each and every one of us to witness of that precious, simplistic gospel that is His. We may be caretakers in a lot of ways, but it's His gospel. The gospel of the Father. Delivered through the Son. Manifested through the Son. Paid for. And our ticket, if you will, our way to eternal salvation through Jesus Christ and none other. And there's none other path. And we need to live like there's none other path but Jesus Christ and His gospel, the gospel of the Father. We must live like that. And like I said this morning, I'll keep on saying it. I do not think that we'll truly appreciate all that it means, or what all it is about, until we're told to enter in, thou good and faithful servant. But I just thought I'd share that with us. We find that this is the day in which we live, and Jesus said to pay attention to the day in which we live. Pay attention to the day in which we live. Look at the signs of the sky. You can tell what it's going to be like to a reasonable extent. And the angels of heaven do not know the hour in which He shall come. And we're looking forward. Live like Jesus told us to be watching and to be aware and to be preparing. You know not in which day your Lord and Savior shall return. We don't know that. Be always ready, He said. He said, if we would known in what hour the thief was coming to the house, so we would not have suffered that our house be broken up. How many houses have been broken up out there and lives destroyed? There are many things that are people taking into their lives and into their homes. And as the Lord was delivering through David to His own son Solomon about, can you take fire into your bosom and to be burned? Many people are taking fire into their homes, taking fire into their lives, and think that they can mingle with the ways of the world and be yet upheld. Where is the virtue? The virtue that should be within the life of the Christian. There are many Christians inhabit such places that we should never be and partake in things we should never do. And there should be, He says, come ye out from among them and be ye therefore separate. And what does that mean? One thing that has been integrated, it just happens to come to mind and don't want to pick on, but will, and that is the so-called family restaurant. Take your family to the family restaurant out there. And it used to be that we were not allowed to take children into a bar. It was against the law. Now I remember my mother and father going to some places and saying, no, we can't take them in there. It was against the law. But look now. The so-called family restaurant. Take your children in. And you can partake of the cup of devils. That's what's just the same drink that destroys lives. People think it's okay. And look at the example that it sets. Look at the example that it sets. The little children sitting there thinking, we can, as long as they learn how to handle it responsibly. And we must look at the time which we live. We do not know how short the time is. And he said, if we would have known the time that the thief would come, we would not suffer our homes to be broken up. And the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. It was told by one of our founding fathers of this country, which is changing before our very eyes. And that's the gospel of Christ in essence. The price of liberty, the liberty from the bondage of sin. And we can, don't be entangled again with those things and what you put behind you. Don't be entangled again. I wanted to go on to what I was a portion of what I was talking about last week and go on to the next subject. I've been talking about the past and talking about the present. And I'd like to continue talking some about the present. And one thing that I'd like to mention is that we need to be reminded of who we are so we can be on task and vigilant. We need to be reminded of who we are within the present. And one thing that I wanted to spend just a hair bit of time on about today being most important. Today is very crucial. Yesterday you can't do anything about. We were talking about the past. You can't do anything about that. But today, and as a matter of fact, as Randy was reading out of Book of Romans, it says about past sins not being accounted unto people. And how is that? And that's through repentance. And repentance and turning from past sins and past ways of life and pointing yourself toward the future is within today. We can't do anything about tomorrow, because tomorrow, like Jesus said, will take care of the things of itself. But today, being important. A lot of todays make a lot of yesterdays. A lot of people burn up a lot of todays. And Satan sends forth the spirit of procrastination. The man that was going to tear down his barn and build bigger ones to put his things into thought there were many tomorrows yet to come. The book of Hebrews, it says, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. But it says, today, if you will hear His voice, we shall rest from labors. And there's no more work yet to be done in that time of rest. And that is the time when we pass from this life. And when Jesus comes, do you think you can make the decision for Him at that time when you see Him coming in the clouds of heaven, that that time you'll make your eternal salvation? No, the time is past. Look at the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, and see what happened to them. Jesus said, how knoweth a man the master that he has not served? People are trying to make a doctrine today, a whole doctrine about the thief on the cross. That's a dangerous, dangerous doctrine. I will wait till the very end. And then I'll do that. Or that the cares of this life are all there is. Just got to be careful about today and living today in the name of Jesus Christ. Watch that today is not lived carelessly. That tomorrow we do not look upon it in shame. You know, we have our brother was mentioning that maybe easier to be able to turn away from some things, you know, that because the stock market's taking it away, or housing values going on, and so on and so forth. And that, and I'm sure you meant that in jest, but you know something? We do need to invest in tomorrow. You say, well, tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Well, that's true. That's what Jesus taught us. But we still need to invest in tomorrow. And what do I mean by that? Because you need a Savior, and you need to engage that gospel in your life. You need to engage that message and that truth in your life. You need to live by it and live for it and live through Jesus Christ. Invest in tomorrow. Invest in your eternal salvation in the future. There will be all future within eternity of salvation, of being saved. I remember there was one message I gave here a while back talking about what are we being saved from. And that was talking about eternal damnation and separation. What are we being saved from? And that's a very important thing to know. Jesus taught us a lot about the other side of the coin. Because we need to be fully informed. There's eternal separation, eternal damnation, outer darkness, where we should be weeping and wailing. This is a gnashing of teeth. Not a good place. Not like many today that are laughing and joking and so on, saying, I'm going to go there and party with my friends. Or after this time of life, I'll deal with God later. No. He will deal with you. God will deal with you. And things are maybe seem on cruise control today. But God's going to show up. There will be that day and there will be that time. There will be that minute when the clouds will part. And he shall ride forth as king with his angels with him. And he said, he shall take vengeance upon those that know not God. And he will come, and he's coming for his saints. And he's coming for his saints. But we need to be reminded of who we are so we can be on task and vigilant. Let's take a look in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, please. To start in verse 22 through 25. Hebrews 10, 22 through 25. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now, it talks about in 2 Peter that the baptism, the answer of a good conscience. Why? Because we've engaged in repentance, turning from, turning to God, and coming to God. It's called a godly sorrow. Lord, I'm sorry for my past sins, and I want the salvation that is prepared through your Son. It is a heartfelt confession of your whole fiber of your being, because your eternal salvation weighs upon it. Yours. No one else's, yours. And that's something we need to talk. We need to understand. Say it to ourselves once in a while. You know, my salvation depends upon Christ. And our bodies washed with pure water. The witness that we'd enter in by the way, that we acting no hypocrisy, as it talks about in the Book of Mormon, page 162. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, there's a whole lot there. Because that article I just read to you, that's reality. And that's only just something just happened to pick up. Oh, there's many more such writings. Denying the gospel of Christ. The word, the prophecy that was given to Nephi that said that there'd be saved two churches is coming to pass. It's true. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And we have two very written in stone witnesses, Bible and the Book of Mormon. We better hold fast the profession of our faith and what you believe in and what you know to be true. Hold fast to it. There's a lot that would like to take to destroy the underpinnings of your foundation. But there are many paths, and there are many such ideas, and there are many such doctrines that are out there, which teaches many paths leading to deity. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that teaching is? Many paths leading to deity or to salvation. Does anyone have a good idea what that is? That's Wiccan belief. Do you know what Wiccan belief is? Satanism. That's exactly what it is. And ye harm none. Do what thou wilt. That is their slogan. And many people to say, you know, who am I, my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to take and try to help someone or to witness? Who am I to take and tell anybody that they're wrong or to whatever matter? And it talks about, I believe it's in 2 Peter, you know, pulling some out of the fire. The garment, you know, singed by the flame. Trying to pull them the best we know how. But it is a challenge on how we help people, of course. And we must pull the mold out of our eye before we see clearly how to help someone else, shouldn't we? Yes. But doesn't mean we should not be helping others. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And there are many people that like to provoke people to kid with them, many people say get their goat. You know, we like to have fun with one another at work, and it kind of helps, you know, that kind of camaraderie, if you will, at work, and provoke one another and so on and so forth. And there may be people that like to poke in order to cause to revile somebody else in order to get them worked up. We've got to watch about things going on to contention. We've got to be very careful. Now, and what this talks about, provoke one unto love and to good works. Promote. And in our congregation, you know, that comes by maybe how about compliment? How about encourage? How about help to strengthen one another? There are many such ways that we, through love, you want to provoke unto love and to good works and those we come in contact with, because our Christian life is a blanket feeling. It's a blanket motivation that carries over into not only our church family, but into our workplaces. Our good examples. Now, he says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more ye see the day approaching. Okay? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, what are we doing right now? We're assembling ourselves together. Don't forsake it, he says. Does the Lord want you to take and find him wherever you're at? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there I shall be in their midst. There is what's called the body of Christ. And he talks about the importance, the intricate importance of the assembling of ourselves together to hear the word of God, to study with one another, to pray with one another, to encourage one another. And he says, exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? What day's coming? What day is coming? Well, the day of Christ is coming. The day of the resurrection is coming. And I'm going to tell you what, we're none of us assured of tomorrow. That may day come for you tomorrow to stand before your Lord and Master. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So we need to. The word of Christ and His gospel acquaint us with who we are. number one, especially divinely created. We are created that we may have the ability to choose and to go on to accept His gospel and to go on to place it rightly in our life and to go on unto salvation. He says, I would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's so intricate, so important, the assembling of ourselves together. Does God know when we come to the house of prayer and to worship? Does He know when we come to worship? He is very aware of every piece of your life. He's very aware of your heart, your mind, your obedience. He understands that. Is it too much for the sacrifice of a little bit of our time to come to the house of worship? And He knows this. He knows, and all time may stop for you. Could be this day. He wants us to make the most of each day. So today is very important. Tomorrow you don't know of, and yesterday is already gone. Today be very crucially important. Be careful. Don't use it. Don't live it carelessly, unthoughtfully, but be utilizing it to the most of your ability. And don't put off what you may be touched to do today. Let's just say if you made the decision to join in the body of Christ and you wanted to be baptized, you say, well, you know, maybe we can wait till spring. And not that we can't. But I'll tell you what. And I'll guarantee you one thing. We could stop what we're doing right now and make a way. You bet your boots we would. We'd make a way. We've done it before, haven't we, Lana? We've made a way. Could be a hot tub. Could be a pool. So it doesn't matter. I've heard of those that they broke the ice and they went in. You don't go in for very long, but they got her done. Okay. And so God provides a way. That's how He wants us to live our lives. You know, God will provide a way. We need to realize that God would. That's the only way that we're going to make it through a tribulation. And I'm telling you what, that's on our doorstep now. You see all sorts of things that are taking place, and I believe there are even things that are taking place today that were not what the Lord destroyed cities for in times of old. Even yet. And so, I do think we need to go on. One thing we need to be taking a look at, are you fortifying and building? Is today. Are we fortifying and building? And so, be careful. You know, if you are going on to Christ, and we're supposed to be maturing, we're supposed to be strengthening, we're supposed to be climbing. And the way that works, we're either climbing up or we can be sliding back. We can't make this little plateau and think to be saying, you know, all is at ease in Zion. Zion prospereth and all is well. And put her on cruise control. Can't do that. Must be maturing, must be building, must be fortifying. I'm telling you, because you're gonna need it. We need it. We need to be building, we need to be maturing, going on unto joy and to peace and to walking. Because we're ordained unto good works that we should walk in them. And in your Book of Mormon, page 557. And I'd like to read verses 74 and 75. And this is Helaman chapter 2. And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that you must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, Yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe. Because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall. Now, we know that is our foundation. And if those have not laid that here today, and they, you know, that I cannot exercise enough encouragement, those that have, we've got to be continually fortifying that foundation. And it talks about in Ephesians 6, I believe it is, about gospel armor. They were continually trying to make sure that armor is intact. We've got to look to that continually. That we're going, Jesus said, we're going on unto perfection. What does that take? Well, it takes living by faith unto endurance and execute and to be applying his gospel. Over in the book of James, in the 5th chapter. James in the 5th chapter, I'd like to read verses 7 through 12. Because one thing that the statement that we need to understand that I wanted to also mention this morning is that we need to decide and know and live by where does our strength come from. And so talking about fortifying, there are going to be times that are coming into your life. There are going to be times of testing. There are going to be times of tribulation. There are going to be times of maybe suffering. There are going to be times of sorrow. You've got to decide where it is that your strength lies. And if it lies just in material things or things within the world today, the valley is going to be pretty low. But if it's built upon the foundation of Christ, we need to decide for yourselves where does your strength lie. Verse 7 says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and affliction and of patience. We look to the prophets. We look to the prophets of old. Many of them were men of sorrow. They were men of sorrow. And we're going to get into a little bit of that in just a moment. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be yea, lest ye fall into common condemnation. That means it's very important, the things we may say, the things that we decide to say, the things we act upon. You know, we do things with simplicity and with motivation of love and of charity. And so, the most important thing that we can do is to decide today. You know, what are we going to do? The where is your future going to lie? I would like to go on. And one statement before I go on that I made last week, that the Lord's fingerprints were upon the past. But the Lord's fingerprint is upon today also. The Lord's fingerprint is upon today, and it's his design. It says, today is the day the Lord hath made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'd like to talk about the future. In the future, we may look back to this day. We may look back to this day. And we most likely will. What are you going to look back to? Are you going to look back in shame for what you did do, didn't do, or how you handled today? That's why he tells the evidence of walking in the Spirit, and it talks about the evidence of walking in the Spirit, and you can know about walking in the Spirit. What does that mean? And we should know about that, and that we are alive, healthy and breathing in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and walking in the Spirit. That's where our good works come into play. Because we live by the court of the law of faith does not mean works are done away. Because there is grace does not mean works are done away. Good works are evidence of your walking in the Spirit, that the Spirit of the Lord is motivating your life. We are foreordained that we should walk in them. 2 Corinthians 5:10 talks about that we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we're judged according to things done in this body. What kind of things were done in this body? Most importantly, that we accepted Jesus Christ. We kept the law of His gospel. Did we live according to it? Did we live by it? Faith unto endurance. And those things takes good works. Good works are not four-letter words. They're essentials. They are witnesses of walking in the Spirit. That's what it is about. It talks about in Romans, I believe, 8th chapter. It says that if you, in other words, if the Spirit of Christ is not within you, you are none of His. You see. So we must be living in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so we may look back to this day. Look back to see God's handiwork or impression. We may say we wish we had decided differently. One thing I'd like to tell you, many wish they knew the future. Many people wish that they knew the future. There are many people wish they had not found out the future. And one thing, let's take a look, if you will, while we're in James, in the 4th chapter. And first of all, I'd like to start at verse 13. Verse 13, I'd read through verse 17. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. There's many of you that are going to say, you know, I'm going to go over here, I'm going to travel over there. You know, some maybe are going to go north this next week. You know, that's a wonderful plan. But he says, you know, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such a city. Continue their year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You see the difference? If the Lord will, we will do this or do that. You know. It's just like we have a prayer group at work. And we flat told people, we're not going to be in there praying for money. Even though, you know, the future for the logbook, for the work that we're getting, is questionable. But we're going to go into praise the Lord that He's sustained us to this time. We're going to praise Him that He has taken care of us, just like He's taken care of the ravens and clothed the lilies of the field. And we're going to praise Him and we're going to look to ourselves and what we could do to uplift Him in our workplace. He already knows our needs, and He's taken care of us. And I believe that He's sustained everyone here. We know this. And we're here to praise Him for it. And my hope, my prayers will walk forth here from here with more rejoicing within our heart and our mind and a vigor to do the things that are pleasing. And a zeal to do the things that are pleasing in His life. To believe in Him and more of His reality in our life and in our ways. And give Him what is His. The sacrifice of our praise and thanksgiving and our obedience and our attendance in the house of the Lord. But we don't know what's on tomorrow. I don't know what's tomorrow. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. If it's the Lord's will that tomorrow will come to pass, well, then that's within His plan. or not. I could stand before him yet this day. You know? It may not matter getting that freezer fixed. It may not matter at all. I may have to stand before the Lord before that time. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, for all such rejoicing, he says, is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and to doeth not, to him is a sin. We know to do the good things. But there is the sin of omission. That we know to do good. And if we know to do good and we don't do it, I believe to us that it is sin. That's what I believe that's talking about. And so, we don't know what was tomorrow is about. And you know, once again, if we knew what was tomorrow, we could have the pants scared right off us. You know, and I was looking at an example, and I was talking with somebody about an example. We find in the book of 2 Kings, in the 20th chapter, about old King Hezekiah. We won't turn there today, but old King Hezekiah, and he was serving the Lord, he thought, and he was protected, and his enemies were turned away from him. And then Isaiah come up to him, and he said, "You get your house in order." He says, because you're going to die. Your life is short. And he turned to the Lord, turned to the Lord, and he cries, "Haven't I served you? Haven't I done this and haven't I done that?" He was told his future, and I believe that he was struck with a little mortality there. But the Lord gave him some important advice in the beginning. He said, "Get your house in order." Well, he was given extra time. He was given some number of years. And in that number of years, evidently he didn't get all what was in order. Because when it come time for him to stand before the Lord, and his son, Manasseh, took over in his stead, he hadn't taught his children. He hadn't taught them in the ways of the Lord properly, or seen to them appearing his ways and know what they thought, because his own boy led Israel off into sin. And they built back the groves that were torn down, and they sacrificed to Baal once again. Now Hezekiah would say, "As well as the word of the Lord." And what is he going to do about it at that time? His time was spent, was already gone. And so, we don't know about our future, long or short. And we find that this life is what most people seem to be worried about. But you see, when we secure and are assured of eternal life, we should be replaced with what he just talked about here. If the Lord will, we shall live. Do this or do that. This book of Psalms says that we're given 70. But by strength of years, be longer or shorter. Now let it be to the glory of the Lord. But that our goal be eternal life. And so, and also, you know, there's the other thing that we think about our decision for Christ. You know, we got to be careful that we're not also into a mindset of maybe bigger or fancier is better. Truth needs to be important. What we find today is very many people engrossed in entertainment, and entertainment must be the rule of the day. And if you don't have a big, huge building that costs millions of dollars, in a big, huge congregation, that, boy, it must be right because it's bigger. Remember, wrong is wrong if everybody's doing it. When the prophets of the Lord came before Israel, it was generally the prophets were the ones that were doing right. And there was only a few that were doing what was right. And they needed to exhort the people, who were the most of them, the majority of them. And the Lord was about ready to swat them again. And unless they repented in sackcloth and ashes. We must be careful. And so that it is not numbers. Jesus said, few there be that find that straight and that narrow path. And it is your decision. It is your challenge. Once again, we can't be built upon, you know, maybe certain traditions within the family, or even within our congregation, but that it must be built upon the gospel of Christ. And I like to believe the things that we practice are according to the Scriptures. And your future or your decision, let's say the Church of Christ down the road, bigger or smaller, or what the future is of this local should not depend upon whether you join Christ or are baptized into Christ, because your individual decision and what you've done today, and the Lord knows your heart and Lord where you want to go. So we're not built upon temporal things, but about our faith in Christ, our decision for Christ. Let's take a look in the book of Proverbs in the 3rd chapter. I've just got a couple things here that I wanted to yet today, and not a lot, but Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 7. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, and bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart, so thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Now there's two different types of fear, and we must know what those are. And one thing I would like to ask, do you have an assurance of your future? Do you have an assurance? Now, I didn't say a green card. I did not say, are you saved? I'm very careful about that. Do you have an assurance? Now, there is a worldly fear, and there's a fear that about, you know, temporal things, about maybe our job, maybe about our finances. There's a worldly fear, and if you, talking about salvation, if you had to stand before the Lord today, something we need to, once again, the most important point is the present, remember? Do you have a fear about your future? Stand before the Lord. Because there is a fear about that. Talks about Philippians, work out your soul salvation with fear and with trembling. And we must learn and replace that worldly fear with a godly fear. Talks about here, the fear of the Lord and depart from evil. And it also talks in Proverbs is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You must learn what that is. But there is a godly fear. And let's take a look back over into 1 John. And learning more about replacing that. Just take a look in 1 John 4. 1 John 4. I'd like to read verses 17 through 19. And so he says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, and that's the worldly fear. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. There's the difference. Torment, and we know that type of fear is not of God. To have torment. And there's not going to be any torment like the torment that's going to be felt by those that have not accepted and lived for and endured to the end of this life. That's going to have to be faced when God shall deal with them. Perfect, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. We know He loved us and He gave Himself a sacrifice. And so God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall never perish, but have eternal life. We love Him because He first loved us. We need to learn with that. There is the admonition of the Lord. There is the fear of the Lord. The awe-inspiring respect for who He is. His majesty, His power, His omnipotence, His salvation. The admonition of the Lord. And give Him the glory that is rightfully His. And there's one saying. And we're talking about the future. Remember, the things that are matter, the things we need to handle rightly within the present. If we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always got. We find that there are things that we've done before, you know, and sometimes we trip over mistakes that we've made in the past. And we sometimes keep them because we didn't learn from the one in the past. And if you procrastinate the law of Christ, and it says the wages of sin is death, eternal separation. And if we continue on sinning, guess what? The wages of sin is still death. If we continue then further on than that, it's still the same, isn't it? And God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He does not change. And so we'll always either receive the eternal salvation for living by faith unto endurance, or the other place of eternal torment. And because of His omnipotence, because of His divine glory and power and infinite intelligence, the Lord's fingerprint is upon the future. And there are things that you and I know of, being spiritual and also believers in Christ. You know about the future. You know. You know that He is coming. The day or the hour, maybe not, but you know that He is coming. You know that He's bringing salvation with Him, He says. He's coming for His saints. He's also coming for those that have not believed, but they will receive their own reward. We know that the gospel is going to be preached into all the ends of the earth. We know the Lord is going to sustain and take care of His people. We know there are those that He's going to be coming forward. So there, we know there are people that are going to be here. They're going to make it through this tribulation. So we need His strength. We know that He will take care of us. He said, the eyes are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cries. There are many things that we do know about the future. But you know something? Be careful. You know, there are many people, once again, that wanted to know about their own individual future. And maybe if you knew just how short, just like old King Hezekiah. And what would you do if you knew you were going to stand before the Lord today or tomorrow? In reality. And it could be. The future, once again, is to us, it's a blank slate. And we need to write upon it. We're writing upon it today. Once again, the things that we are trusting and have some faith in it, and things that we know that are going to come to pass that the Lord has told us about. And I do believe with all my heart that the Lord is going to reveal pieces and glimpses of the future in order to help to sustain even this people right here in Bradley. Right here. He said, to be believing as in times past. Don't reject the possibility of Him speaking. Do not do that. And because it pronounces a woe upon those that do reject these things. There are a lot of people that will turn to even to horoscopes and things like that. There's many Christians that will turn to horoscopes and somehow be living by them. The scriptures warn against that. Diviners of times, necromancers, watch out for those things. They're an abomination to the Lord. And we also, by our goals and aspirations for the future, many people have plans about the future that they would like to, even to what we want to do for a living. Do you ever think about that? How about engage God in your plans for the future for how to make a living? Is it a godly goal? I'll tell you, there are some ungodly ways of making a living. And a friend of mine at work, we were talking about, you know, it would be nice to take and maybe even do a business or something else on the side, that since, you know, so that may help toward our retirement and so on and so forth, you know, that you could make extra money or this and that. And he says, we got to be careful about making the real fast money. He says, most of those ways are illegal. That may be true. But let God and His Son and the Holy Spirit be our future. Even to who you're going to marry. God needs to be the foundation, the center point, and the focal point of our homes. And we will know why we are His children. We will know why we are specially divinely created. We will know what is the basis and foundation of marriages. That one will look to another in respect and love and tenderness. And uphold and encourage one another. We will know those things. They are by His gospel and by His rules. God is the source of right and of wrong. It's the benchmark of righteousness. Where all those things come from, it's from God. That's the benchmark of righteousness. And that needs to be the rule of our life today, so that like Jesus said, tomorrow will take care of things of itself. And we will be sustained in the future. We let the Lord direct our paths. We take a look at many of the prophets from the past who knew the future. And they were men of sorrows. Jeremiah himself was called the weeping prophet. And we find those that were they were subdued in the spirit, if you will, and need to be raised by the power because of the overcoming of what they knew. Well, there was a director. There's another instance that when they received a director to lead them through the wilderness, you remember, at the tent of Lehi? It's called Lahaina. It was to direct them, and it worked according to the faith and the diligence that they gave to it. And there were writings upon this ball. And they had fell away from and doubted. They doubted that the Lord was going to take care of them. And they said, the Lord said to Lehi, look upon the ball. And he looked upon the ball and he was struck with fear and amazement. And he shivered and he quaked. And the rest of them around them at about what the Lord had put upon them, he revealed to them. Maybe a judgment of the future because of their disobedience to his power, his laws, and his sustainment, that he could take care of them. And Lehi was a prophet of the Lord, and he knew the voice of the Lord. He knew the power of the Lord. And the Lord had to send forth a warning. And I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, we have so many warnings around us today. We're seeing them. We got to be careful that we're not like the frog in the pot. Put a frog in the pot, and he'll sit right there until somebody turns up the heat slowly until he boils. He'll sit right there until he boils. But if you knew the difference, right enough, you say that he'd try to jump out. Well, where are we at today? So Jesus said to look with time which we live, be assured in his gospel. And I hope and pray that these portions of these last two sermons were something to invigorate our thoughts, our hearts. Thank you, sister.